Yo, 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 Thought Warriors.
What is up?
Higher Learning is on. It is I, Van Lathan Jr.
And it's me, Sister Lindsay.
Sister.
Because if you're watching this podcast, I thought I came on here looking kind of cute. Van told me I look like I'm going to church. I'm headed to a premiere after this. I'm dressed, no, ready to go. I'm going to go change. Sister Lindsay's going to go change.
Why would you going to church mean that you don't look good? You look
no,
lovely,
because it's like more conservative. I want to look like
you
wanna cool.
Dazzle? You want to dazzle?
I don't want to dazzle.
You want to dazzle? I'm Rachel. I'm Rachel. I'm on the red carpet.
Sister Lindsay.
Rachel.
Brother Lathan.
Brother Lathan. I look like Brother Lathan right now with how fat I am. This is the way all the niggas in church look. They come over and it's like, hey, it's like they always. Like at the churches I was at, it was so much food related. Everything was about food. It was food, 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 food.
Is that how you felt? I mean, I guess you go to the fellowship hall and afterwards but not every Sunday. There wasn't a serving every Sunday.
Fried fish. Man. People would save their wackest fried fish for the fish that they had at church. I'll come to people's houses and I'll be like, this ain't the fried fish that y'all served at the church. Because this shit is bomb and that shit is whack. And it seems
the
like...
The fact we used to eat all that food.
All the time.
It's gross enough.
All the time. We used to eat it. Guess what? I just learned something that puts into context something for me. So fucking much. Trudy Joseph is full of shit.
No, I'm not laughing at that.
She's full of shit.
No, she's
Trudy's
not.
Full of shit, guys. No. I'll be honest with you.
Why am I full of shit?
Because you've been talking a lot of shit on the podcast. And you've been saying, hey, I'm this and I'm ready for war and I'm that. You even once said on the podcast, you even said the words, I fight. You said that. And it was a lie. Because before we started taping, Rachel, Trudy let it be known that she has never in her suburban ass sheltered life had a fist fight. You have never been in a fight. So all of that shit you talking is some wild bullshit. Oh my God, where's Kalika?
I cut deep with my tongue. That's what Trudy. It is. I cut deep.
Jesus, whoa.
I cut deep with my tongue.
Whoa.
I like that, man.
Nobody asked you how deep you can get with your tongue. Whoa.
Trudy. Please change your word choice.
Jesus.
Trudy, I can't believe you've never been in a fight. Now, even I.
Rachel, you've been in a fight.
Look at her. Of course you've been in a fight. Slick ass mouth. Like, yeah.
I've been in a fight and I've been jumped. So,
Rachel got jumped.
In the bathroom at a strip club. And why? Because I was running my mouth.
Running your slick ass mouth.
And my friends were all in the stalls when it happened. So everybody came out fighting.
She told this story in Vegas, right?
No, we were in Dallas.
Oh, in Dallas. Oh, why? Didn't I feel like, didn't you get in the fight in Vegas too?
It's possible. But not that I can remember. Not that I can remember. But I will say all of my fights have happened in the club.
Rachel Lynn Lindsay. I just would have never thought. I thought we were on the same.
So don't judge a book by its cover.
What you mean? Just cause not everybody pussy like you, by the way.
Hold on, wait.
That's actually not true. You are not a pussy. And I'll say that because pussies are very strong, very durable, and can go through and withstand a lot. And they can dominate. You are balls. Balls are weak. Easily, they shrink up at the first sign of trouble. They like they're sensitive. Trudy is balls. You're not pussy.
Can
I apologize to pussy for calling you that.
Can I just put it out there? I've never. It's like I've had the opportunity, and then my friend jumped in, and she's like 6 foot, and so that was
Trudy. You gotta fight through that.
You still gotta get busy. You still gotta get busy.
Trudy, I've had friends hold me back.
Yes.
I've had men hold me back. You fight through it.
You gotta get busy still.
You connect.
Yeah. friend jumped in. I don't fuck that. You still got to get busy. You still got to get busy, True.
In middle school, like, I was best friends with the bully. So it was just, it was like I was a made man.
Trudy.
I was a made man.
Trudy.
You were one of the
best
bullies
friends with the bully? Yeah, that's, you were a bully.
I don't know.
I'm going to be honest with you, Trudy. If you've never had a fight, that means you back down. You've backed down at least five times.
That's not true. Nobody has. So to everybody out there, I mean, now I feel like I'm at big age. I'm too old to fight.
At your big age?
Yes, you can't fight at 27.
No, it's not that you're too old to fight. You should stop fighting once you get to a certain level of, like, you shouldn't be fighting if you, you know, but it's not that you're too old. You could still have a fight, but you're just not, I mean, it's not in you.
Donnie, have you been in a fight?
I've been in two fights.
Okay.
But they're like very far apart. Once in preschool and once when I was like a junior in high school.
Donnie,
preschool
doesn't count.
It does.
Preschool.
I'm adding it to my ledger.
Preschool doesn't count. I'm sorry, Donnie.
If you can remember it counts.
I'm going to be honest with you. Preschool definitely doesn't count. And that's so wild that you brought that up. And you said he's like preschool.
He's reaching.
I'll be honest with you guys. I actually envy y'all that you guys have either the self-control or you grew up in neighborhoods where you didn't have to like constantly fight all the time. There was just no way growing up in South Baton Rouge that somebody, there was just, even just to see what's up, they're going to fight. Just to see. Like, hey, let's just see if this nigga will do it. And then if you get whooped or whatever, they at some point they looking at you and they just, let's just see what's up with him. Let's just see. And then you got to fight. And don't get me wrong.
Exactly
when I came,
what happens.
When we moved to California, for the little time we were in California, I was like in a fucking gladiator academy. Because I wasn't from here, they tried me every day till I had to put some pelts up on the wall to make friends. Oh, this big country ass nigga. I was bigger than them, and I had to put. I remember, I had to put in some work. And you know, you get to high school, and then you have organized fights where it's like 5-on-5 and all of that stuff. But like, I'm happy,
I never had
I'm
an organized fight. No, but
I just got jumped.
People try me because I got.
You
I didn't get jumped.
Organized. Yeah, so they were organized, and you weren't.
I did. Right. I did. I was definitely not in my right mind. It was a strip club. It was not okay. But the other times, that was not the case. And I will say that people definitely tried me as I got older because of the way I talked, because of the school that I went to. And people came at me all the time. That's why my mom wouldn't let me go to the neighborhood school because she said I wouldn't be okay. Yeah, she was probably right.
All of that shit talking.
That's okay, Trudy. You know who to stand behind if it goes down.
Period.
You hear me?
Rachel, because she got hands.
You hear me? But that's not an invitation for people to come try me, though. This is not
That'd
an invitation.
So
this is
so
not an invitation.
Just tried you on a red card. Where are you going to fight
got,
Rachel on a red
no,
card?
No, I got that. Now it's too, it's, this is before I had any kind of platform.
Truly, I'm glad the truth about your privileged black ground is coming out. So now we know how to separate fact from fiction about you.
Don't play me. I'm from the city, not the suburbs. Don't do it.
What city?
Springfield.
You're from the city of Springfield?
Yes, but like the city, like I don't, there's not even really like
niggas don't care. Niggas, man, shout out Springfield. I'm not gonna diss Springfield.
I'm from Forest Park. Niggas know
Trudy.
About Forest Park. That's me.
Trudy.
Oh. Trudy. Even when you say the N-word, it doesn't Trudy. Sound right now.
Don't do
like, I just, so here's the deal. By the way, I am in no way saying this has nothing to do with being black. I have no way saying that being violent or fighting is a rite of passage in being a young black person. I'm not saying that at all, just so people don't know, because, you know, anytime I come with a non-woke statement, everybody gets up in arms. But I will say this. You had to fight where I was from, nigga. I never forget. We was in California. Ask Ebony. Hold on for a second. Hold on. I call Ebony right now. Ask Ebony right now. A whole neighborhood of girls.
Fought you?
Came to the door for Ebony. A whole neighborhood of girls came to the front door for Ebony. The whole neighborhood came to the front door for Ebony. This is a true story in California, in Inglewood, York Avenue. The whole neighborhood came to the door. Like,
why?
A bunch of
Call
girls
Ebony.
Came out there. cause like something had happened at school. Ebony caught the girl, beat the shit out the girl. Not playing around. Not playing. You know what I'm saying? Not fucking playing. I had to fight Dwayne. I had to fight Jerome. I had to fight all of these niggas. These niggas were my friends. DJ, I had to fight these guys. It was bad. Like, mom was concerned. She was like, yo, are you doing something wrong? I'm like, you're doing something wrong for moving us out here in the height of the gangster rap era. Who moves to California in 91?
Big, you know, country.
Think about how crazy my parents are. Like, it's like, who moves to, it was 1990, we moved there. Who sees colors and then it goes, that's where we gonna move? What? What are you talking about, mom?
I mean, how good long job, did y'all
dad.
Say?
Rest in peace. 2 years after the riots, dad was like, bing bong, we out. We literally left a week after the riots. Last episode of the Cosby Show, too. Two things that happened that were monumental. The riots, and then it was the last episode of the Cosby Show. The Cosby Show came on. Will, did we know?
I don't want to go there.
Little did we
know. You want to fight? You want to fight? Stop. Change the subject.
Did you go to Coachella?
I did not. We did quite the opposite. We went to Newport.
Newport Beach? How was that?
It was cool. I've never been. I just wanted to get away, do nothing. Mm-hmm. That's all we did. Me, Brian, and Copper. Where did we stay?
Yeah, where'd y'all go?
We were at Balboa Bay.
The Balboa Peninsula.
Is this a thing?
You went to the Wedge.
Is this a thing?
Oh, I love the Balboa Peninsula. Yes, tell me all about it. What happened? Did you get the frozen custard, the frozen banana situation?
No, because I'm picky and I can't handle all of that. But no, it was, we didn't do much at all because we weren't there that long. We might have been there for like 30 hours. But we went, we just, you know, like walked the beach, drove around. I had never been to Orange County like that before, just driving through it. Just like went to a local tavern, watched the games. Went, did some shopping, walked around with Copper. He loved it. Copper loved it. But I'm going to tell you something about the Balboa Bay Resort.
Go. Balboa Peninsula, the way.
So you know how, like, I like to walk around, especially like a historic hotel or whatever, walk around, look at the pictures, see who's been there, who's not. It's like one of those places. They got the black and white pictures up of who's been there. And I'm looking at the pictures. Mm-hmm. Nobody black.
No niggas, yeah.
And it's an, but it's just as great of a time as I had there. It's just an immediate reminder that there was a time we didn't belong, that we weren't allowed.
There was a time.
They just, but that's all I can think. Like now, they're over here celebrating all these great people who've come through here, and they're proud of it. But nobody was black. Nobody was of color. I don't know. It's just a reminder. That's the only thing I could think about. I'm like, man. You know it to be the case, but then it was memorialized through the hallways that we weren't allowed to be there. Other than that, it was a great time.
You thinking about that while you were there with Copper and Brian?
I did.
I'm telling you, man. That's the kind of stuff. See, that's what we talk about when we talk about being black. People don't understand it. It's hard. We can't turn it off. It's tough. So I want to read you something. I want you to tell me who said this quote. I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to a point of responsibility.
I'm just supposed to pick some random white person. You're gonna give
me a hint? Tell me who you think would have said something like that. Published in Playboy in May 1971. I believe in white supremacy until the blacks are educated to the point of responsibility.
John Wayne.
It's John Wayne.
Was that okay? Right?
Yes, it's John Wayne.
Oh, I just,
you're the fucking man.
I just literally, I was going to say Ronald Reagan, but then you said 1971 and I was like, John Wayne.
John Wayne.
Okay.
The airport in Santa Monica, the airport in Orange County, in Santa Ana, is the John Wayne Airport. So does it mean that it's racist in Orange County? That means that legacies everywhere and every place that we go are complicated with the fact that nobody ever wanted us to be where we are. So the reality about where you stayed at in Newport, as nice as the Wedge is, and I love the Wedge. I love to watch the guys surf over at the Wedge because that's where the big waves come, mm-hmm. you know, right there. But by Boa Peninsula, the Wedge is gnarly. You were never supposed to be staying there. They didn't like build that hotel for you to stay. You know, that like they built yep. that hotel for people who thought that we had to be educated to a point of responsibility. And what is that point? Who decides that? If that is that thought right there from an American hero, John Wayne, you think that that's an antiquated, old timey thought? And perhaps it is. It was a long time ago. That's 50 years ago, right? However, think about that. Think about that someone formulated a thought about whether or not they were better than someone. Think about as a black person, if you've ever had that thought. If you've ever had the thought that another race of people should be controlled in this way until right. this.
Right.
That's nuts. So when you were there, Rachel, the people that made that hotel back in the day, they didn't expect you would be there. That's why we got double down. You know, you got to come in there wearing Koofies, Malcolm X hats.
Okay, I wasn't doing that. I wasn't doing that. But it was definitely a reminder. How was your weekend?
It was cool.
Okay.
Birthday happened. I made a pina colada. Homemade pina coladas.
Virgin or with alcohol?
Well, you know, no. Why, like, do people, why would I make a virgin pina colada?
How prevalent is that? I just don't know people to just make pina coladas at home.
Well, if you're making a pina colada at home, wouldn't you make it non-virgin?
I don't know. Can't you just buy it already made? Can't you just pour a pina colada?
It doesn't.
Okay.
It doesn't.
I don't know.
It doesn't taste as good that way. You don't like a pina colada?
I mean, it's a little too sweet for me.
You're too tough for a pina colada, aren't you?
No, I'm not. I just like mine to hit a little harder.
God damn. Sound like fucking Ice Cube when you said that. I like mine to hit a little harder. What is this? What's going on here? This
is the, like going on.
Trudy's never had a fight, and all of a sudden, Rachel is motherfucking the hardest chick. Rachel, we didn't even notice. Rachel's the hardest chick on earth. Rachel's exploits. We've underplayed Big Rach on this. This is what we've done. We've overplayed Trudy, Skanks, and underplayed your drinks. I like my drinks to hit a little harder. What do you like to drink? Everclear. What's your favorite drink?
Okay. Do people still drink Everclear? No.
I haven't seen it in years, but also I
like them like a Don Julio, a 1942. I like a Casamigos. You know, if we're sticking around tequila. I like a Tito's vodka.
Tito's vodka.
I like Crown. But you don't, I love Crown.
I love Crown too. You don't like sweet drinks?
I prefer not to.
I love a sweet drink.
Was it frozen?
Well, I made it. So it's like you take ice, coconut cream, pineapple juice, and then two types of rum, and then frozen pineapples. And you blend it together and you got the pina colada.
It's too cold for me. Like I get brain freeze on drinks like that. So I like to stay away from that. But okay, you had a pina colada. Okay, you made yourself some drinks.
You know what I'm saying? I think I'm about to become a mixologist. I think I'm going to be learn how to make special drinks.
I think you're taking that a step too far. You only made a pina colada.
You know, what do I have to do?
What do I have to do?
Can I live, nigga?
Yes, you can. But you can I live? You want to be a mixologist now.
Right, I've made one drink and I said I want to be a mixologist. I didn't say I am a mixologist. I said I want to be one. I would like to be a mixologist in the future. Like, it was fun making a drink and I want to make another one.
You're right, man.
My little dreams.
You know what? I apologize. If you want to try to mix some drinks, I'd be more than happy to try them.
I want bartenders from I want thought bar warriors. I'm trying to think of a way. I'm trying to think of a cooler name. Thought tenders. I want thought tenders. Tenders.
I don't like it.
Thought bartenders. Thought warriors who are bartenders, who are mixologists. I want you guys to help me get started on my amateur mix. Give me some staples. What do you feel like would, what do you feel like some staples should be if you're going to be like a mixologist at home? Like if you're going to do your own thing, what, like what would some staples be?
I don't know. Cause I'm a boring drinker. You know, it's either shots or like a tequila soda. You got to go with those names. Like what, like a lemon drop, pink panties, sex on the beach,
Long Island iced tea.
But what were them hoods, like a hurricane?
Oh, Jesus Christ. You know what we're going to do? We should have an all hurricane party. We should have an all hurricane Incredible Hulk party. We should have a party. Where it's just, can you even still get Amaretta? Not Amaretta. It wasn't Amaretta.
No, it was Hypnotic and Hennessy. Oh, it was Hypnotic and Hennessy. That's Alize.
What the fuck were you doing?
But we all did it. No. A couple of years ago, we had a 99-2000s party. And I'm mad that we did not have the drinks. Mm-hmm. So listen, Kalika and I are talking about planning something. And I'm going to go ahead and add that to the mix.
Hurricanes.
But I want like Alize, Amaretta Sours, all those drinks. Oh my gosh, Mad Dog. E and J.
All of these drinks. All of these are drinks. The drinks that will make you fight unless you're Trudy. And then you have people fight your battles for you. Okay. We have to take a break. We're going to be back on the other side with the Big Dilla today. If you love the trees, the birds and the bees, and anything else on this planet, then you know that saving it is really, really important. That's why this Earth Day on April 22nd, Spotify is launching the Climate Action Hub. The Climate Action Hub will be a space on the platform dedicated to all things climate action. From podcasts to music playlists, it'll have everything you need to learn more about the state of climate change globally, how it's affecting different parts of our planet, and intersectional perspectives on how to get involved to cool our planet. Head over to Spotify.com/climateaction to learn more, or search climate action in the Spotify search bar. Okay, South Carolina. We're in South Carolina, where a South Carolina death row inmate has chosen the firing squad. Death row inmate in South Carolina, set to be executed later this month, has chosen to die by firing squad rather than the electric chair. Richard Bernard Moore has spent more than two decades on the state's death row after he was convicted of killing a convenience store employee in 1999. A circuit judge had set his execution for 2002, but prosecutors said at the time they expected years of appeals. Two decades later, Moore is set to be executed on April 29th, the first person to be put to death in South Carolina since 2011. He has chosen death by firing squad. South Carolina law states the death row inmates must choose their method of death 14 days before their execution date. What a chilling proposal. A law passed by the legislature in 2021 makes death by electric chair the default method if an inmate refuses to make a selection. The new law was prompted by the decade-long break which corrections officers attribute to an inability to procure the drugs needed to carry out lethal injections. In a written statement, Moore said he didn't concede that either method was legal or constitutional, but that he more strongly opposed to death by electrocution and only chose a firing squad because he was required to make a choice. There's a situation here. Number one, thinking about a man dying by being shot to death in 2022 is just almost
inhumane.
Question though, he chose it. Does that at all change your perception of this?
No, because he doesn't have a choice. I mean, he chose it, but at the same time, he also doesn't have a choice. So he's in one of the states that have the death penalty, 38 of them, I believe. His only option is to be electrocuted or a firing squad. The fact that he doesn't even have the option of lethal injection, not that that's any better, because I personally am not for the death penalty. We've talked about this before. Not that that's any better, but it is this idea that, if it happens this way, it's less painful, even though there's been mounting evidence that people have been suffering excruciating pain through executions, which is why they've halted in a few states. But does he have a choice? I mean, he's been sentenced to death. So the fact that he has to choose how he dies doesn't seem like much of a choice to me. Would you rather be electrocuted or shot to death? Both are inhumane, in my opinion. I personally do not understand how this exists under the Eighth Amendment. I don't understand how this isn't cruel and unusual punishment. I don't understand that. I really, really don't. I don't understand how we can get around that with that. Even with lethal injections, do you know the history of lethal injections? Because I just
I would like to. I would like to know now.
Okay, this is all I know. The person who created it started in Oklahoma, and the person who created it had was a medical examiner who had no experience in anesthesia or pharmacology. And then Texas adopted their own thing, and now it's what's used in, I want to say, it's not all 38 states. I'm not sure which all states have it. But the fact that the person who created it has no experience in it, the fact that even, what is it, the whoever it is, oh, the American Veterinary Medical Association doesn't even believe that lethal injections should be used on dogs and cats, says a lot. Yet we're using it on human beings. I just don't understand any of this. But this is coming from a person who doesn't really believe in the death penalty. I have made exceptions, but I really don't believe. I really don't believe in it.
Okay, what are the exceptions? Before I go into this guy, what are the exceptions for you?
I mean, there's just it's not exceptions. It's just like certain things. I'm just like that person. Just
Rachel?
I don't want to say deserves to die, but they don't need to be here. I don't want to. No, I'm not going there. I already exposed my fighting nature. I'm not doing it.
You can't do that. Either it's no death penalty or
If that's the choice, it's no death penalty. Then it's no death penalty.
No death penalty. Never. It's never okay. And that's a tough one, right?
It's a tough one, but
it's not tough for me.
Believe in the way we execute people. It's just that I don't believe in it. I just don't.
Okay, so Richard Bernard Moore, his 1999 crime. Prosecutors said that Moore entered the store looking for money to support his cocaine habit and got into a dispute with Mahoney, who drew a pistol that Moore wrestled away from him. So Richard, he goes into the place. He's trying to rob somebody. The guy pulls a pistol. Richard Moore wrestles the pistol away. Mahoney pulled a second gun and a gunfight ensued. So Mahoney had two different guns on him. Mahoney shot Moore in the arm and Moore shot Mahoney in the chest. Prosecutors said Moore left a trail of blood through the store as he looked for cash, stepping twice over Mahoney. At the time, Moore claimed that he acted in self-defense after Mahoney drew the gun first. Moore supporters have argued that his crime doesn't rise to the level of a death penalty offense. His appeals lawyers have said that because Moore didn't bring a gun into the store, he couldn't have intended to kill someone when he walked in. This is the problem with the death penalty right here. The problem with the death penalty, the number one problem is that the state should not have the authority to kill an American. They just shouldn't. The state shouldn't just get to decide who lives or dies and what crime arises to that. I understand that some people don't agree with me with that. But it is what it is. Not only do I think that this guy doesn't deserve the death penalty, I think that you can make a strong argument that this is a parole situation. That with all due respect for the family of the man that was killed in this situation, for all due respect for the family of the man that was killed in this situation, this does not seem like the crime that gets somebody life in prison. This also does not seem like the type of crime that gets somebody the death penalty. He did not bring a gun into the store. He didn't have the gun he definitely was out to commit a crime, no doubt about it. He was a drug addict, and his addiction was forcing him to do something that was criminal and fucked up, no doubt about it. But he goes in there, guy pulls the gun, he pulls the gun away, the guy pulls another gun, now they're shooting at each other. He gets shot, the other guy gets shot. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a legal eagle. And I haven't gone through the details of this case, but this seems like a manslaughter situation to me. And it seems like and even if it is a murder situation, it doesn't seem like the type where you put somebody in jail for the rest of their life. And it certainly doesn't seem like the type in which somebody gets the death penalty. And that's the problem with the death penalty. The problem with the death penalty is if you're going to kill someone by the hand of the state, there seems like there should be something that you're sure about. And how could you be so sure that you're going to kill somebody? It's inhumane, it's wrong, and it oftentimes leads us to this intellectual and emotional gray area that we can't legislate ourselves out of. And that's where we are right here with this case. I got to go back. You know, I looked at as much of this as I could. I don't have the case files or anything like this, but this seems a little nuts to me.
To me, when I read that he was going to choose firing squad, before I knew that there was that his only choice was between the electric chair and this firing squad, my thought was he's trying to make a statement, which I still somewhat believe. It's jarring to hear that someone is going to be shot at by a firing squad, which also I'm like, who's pulling the trigger? How many people are shooting? Like, this just seems so wild that if you were like, did this happen in 2022, this time or this time, you would never think that in 2022, this was still happening. I almost feel like he's making a statement by choosing this because we've been, what's the word I'm looking for? We hear so much about the electric chair that we almost don't think about it as harshly as we do a firing squad because you don't hear about that anymore. Same thing with lethal injection. But to hear about a firing squad, I almost feel like he's bringing attention to an issue that needs attention brought to it. Like, I don't want to call him a martyr, but I feel like he's doing this with intent to bring attention to this situation.
What a fucking terrible, terrible, terrible predicament to find your life in, to choose the way that you die. It's weird. It's weird. The death penalty has been shown that it's not a deterrent. You might think that the death penalty is less expensive than life in prison without parole. It's not. Death penalty cases clog up the appellate court. There's just really no good reason to put people to death if justice is about harmony and not about revenge. The death penalty in no way is an effective societal tool. It's just a fact. If you're saying, hey, it's a deterrent to doing the worst things, not true.
No, studies have shown.
If you're saying, hey, it's cheaper than keeping a guy in jail for a long, not true. It's not. The appeal scores get jammed with death penalty cases. These guys don't get killed till decades after it. It's not less expensive.
Yeah, he's been there over 20 years.
So there's just no good reason, for me at least, and the thought warriors out there, please, please, if you have a pro-death penalty argument, I'd love to hear it. From my knowledge and from my understanding, I just don't see very much reason besides something to sort of cement the hypervigilant nature of U.S. justice sometimes. You know, this is what will happen to you type of deal.
Do you think there'll be a day when they get rid of it?
No. I think if there was a day when they were going to get rid of it, I think if society was allowed to actually progress, and this is the interesting thing about, and I'm not as progressive as a lot of people would like me to be. So I'm not in any way making a value judgment on people that I think are progressive enough, because I think we all have ways that we're a little bit more conservative than others, right?
Sure.
But I don't think that society, I think that now there's something in society, there's an sort of artificial and intentional conservatism that exists in society now, where these are people who don't really even have a real, and I'm, this is just the way I feel, don't really even have a real personal or intellectual basis to be the as conservative as what they are, but they feel like their lives exist to be an obstruction to progress. And they're more intent on being an obstruction to progress than they are seeing what they want. And I think the death penalty is going to fall in the battleground of those people. Well, okay, why do we need to keep the death penalty? I don't know. I just know we need to have it. Okay. Like, why? But why, though? How does the death penalty make society better? I don't know. But I just know that we got to be hard on criminals. You know what I mean? Like the same people that continue to caucus with political ideology that supports billionaires and not they broke asses. I don't know why. Well, we just need American competition. Okay, well, we just need all of this stuff. All of this stuff is great. Was it great for you? Well, yeah, sure. If it's good for them, it's good for me. Well, no, it's really not. Like, you need the minimum wage raised because you've been on minimum wage, this second generation of minimum wage. And it might be a third if it doesn't get raised. You need it raised. Okay? No, we don't need it raised. Like, so this, for people who want to do nothing, okay, that's you, but who cares? All right. Meg Thee Stallion.
Meg Thee Stallion. Coachella.
You didn't go.
I didn't go. Almost went. Had tickets. I couldn't see myself sitting in traffic. Honestly, that was really it. I couldn't sit in traffic.
You didn't want to go? You couldn't see yourself sitting in traffic?
I've never been.
She debuted a diss song.
Did she call it that?
I think it was a diss song.
I think it was too, but.
All right. The diss song she has is not a name for the song yet, but the song samples Jodeci. Wu-Tang's Freaking You remix. Freaking You. I wanna freak you. Let's get some audio from the song.
Well, wait a minute. I got a latest bitch out right.
Lady. I love
you. Okay. This song is very motherfucking personal to me. And it's to whom it may the fuck concern. Yeah. And I really feel like my lady's gonna fuck with me on this one, so drop that shit. Fuck you think you talking to, nigga. Fuck me, nah, nigga. Fuck you, nigga. Fuck you, nigga. Yeah, fuck, nigga. Still can't believe I used to fuck with you. Poppin' playing bees, cause I ain't playing the beast. Damn, I see you still kicking with them hot bitches. I'm the only reason that your goofy ass got bitches.
Okay. That seems to be directed to Tory Lanez. What are your thoughts on that?
I thought the biggest revelation in that was that she said, I can't believe I used to let you fuck me. I didn't know that she and Tory Lanez were kicking it like that.
Are you being for real now? That's the whole thing.
No, I thought he was. Okay. Well, I guess I've been lost in this whole thing. I thought I knew he said that. He said that she was jealous because he got caught messing with both of them. But she, to my knowledge, she had never confirmed that. So I didn't know that they had that type of relationship. I just thought he was just saying that. And frankly, I don't really believe anything that comes out of his mouth. So when she confirmed it, I was like, whoa, I didn't know that that was going on. Did you know? Has she ever confirmed it?
She didn't confirm it, but she never denied it. She never denied it.
Okay, but he just said that one thing. She didn't come out and say that. Like, she hasn't.
They were fucking with each other. That's the whole reason why all of this stuff was happening. She never denied it. Yeah, they had some kind of little.
Oh, my God, Meg. Ugh.
What? Like, oh, well, I mean, look, I'm not about to. Okay, so here's the thing. I know that now, looking back on it, Tory Lanez seems undesirable, right? Because of everything that went down. But before this.
I met him before this.
And you're not fucking with Tory Lanez.
I wasn't moved. I wasn't moved in that way. I'm just shocked. I'm just surprised.
She liked him.
I wasn't moved. Clearly.
It was a whole thing. She liked him. It was a thing that they had going on. And he had apparently a thing, not just with her, but also a thing with the friend.
So he said that. I just didn't believe it. So when she said it, I was like, that was it's the first time she confirmed it. Can we agree to that?
Oh, yeah. It was the first time she confirmed it. But I didn't think that was under any, like, I don't think that was up for discussion. I thought everybody thought
I would bring Trudy on, but we've seen Tory Lanez's hair. So we already know where she, we already know where Trudy stands.
But Trudy Donna, you guys knew that. Like Tory Lanez and Meg had been in some kind of little thing, right?
Yeah, I knew. And then I think Kylie was part of that whole story. Like he was flirting with Kylie in the bathtub. So I think,
in the bathtub.
No, nigga. See, it wasn't the bathtub. They were at a pool party at Kylie's house. See, yeah, exactly. They were at a pool party at Kylie's house. And Kylie was in the pool. and Tory Lanez was in the pool with Kylie. And when they were in the pool, he was flirting with her. And he made this song off that album where he was like, he couldn't help it. Kylie looked like an angel in heaven. Like an angel.
He said
an angel, but he also was like a, he said something like a baby in a manger or something like that too.
Okay.
Okay. So dick don't run me. I run dick is what she says. I am the only reason that you got bitches, and you's a bitch. You's a bitch is what she said. I got to talk to you about a picture that Carl Crawford just put up on his Instagram not too long ago, too. Go to Carl Crawford's Instagram and tell me what you see on that picture. Carl Crawford is the ex-Los Angeles Dodgers player who is the owner of 1501 Certified Entertainment that is given credit for discovering Meg Thee Stallion and getting Meg Thee Stallion out of Houston. He is now in a bigger contract dispute with Meg Thee Stallion that's been going back and forth. Carl Crawford blames Roc Nation for being obstructionist and a lot of the stuff that he's trying to get done with Meg. And he has now been public about the fact that he thinks she's ungrateful. Just go to his Instagram. It's 1501.
Is this a recent post or is this a...
It's a recent post. It's a recent
post. Like, is that a recent video?
What video? Do you see what I'm talking about? The picture I'm talking about is Carl Crawford in the club kicking it with Tory.
It's a video. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, is this a throwback video or is this like last night?
Nah, I think he said, if you read the caption, he's like, look who you run into, blah, 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 blah. So he's kicking it with Tory Lanez. That's
not hashtag protect black men. Not hashtag protect black men. Y'all got to chill out with that. It's not the time to use the hashtag. Meg was shot. I'm not saying don't protect black men. I'm just saying this isn't the time to use it. I don't like it. That's corny to me.
Let me ask you a question. Do you think Meg Thee Stallion should have made this song?
Didn't Tory make a song?
He did.
Okay. So Meg to me, well, apparently I don't know all Meg's done because I didn't know that she was fucking with Tory like that. But...
Right.
To my knowledge, she's done a couple of Instagram lives, some posts, denied some things, said, you know, he was lying, but she's never responded in the form of music. Music is her artistry. She's expressing herself. I don't have a problem with it. She said it's to whoever it may concern. I have no problems with her making a song about this. She's also not the one who pulled the trigger. So, you know, there's that.
So I thought it was in poor taste when Tory Lanez made his diss song, obviously. I think this is in poor taste too. Not in poor taste in terms of to me personally, and I could be way off base. This isn't like a rap beef situation. To me, this feels more serious and bigger than that. And like if she's on there and it's about sort of the issues that we're talking about, and we only heard a snippet of the song, but to me, like, I don't run dick, dick runs me, like, I'm the only reason why you got bitches and all of that. I'm not trying to, she can do whatever she wants. It's her story to tell, and it's her, it just seems more serious than that to me. And I think when he made a song about it, my main problem with him making the song was, no matter what he felt, I didn't feel like in anything that he put out or anything that he had said that he was observing the seriousness of what it is that we're talking about. We're talking about a domestic situation.
Sure.
Where a woman was shot. And that's a big, 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 big serious thing. That's a huge, serious thing. That's something that to me is more serious than internet insults back and forth.
Sure.
And I can't tell her how to act, but I was surprised.
I'm not surprised because again, yeah. Music is what she does. Rapping is what she does. She's yet to do anything. Yeah. I have more problem obviously with him because he is the one who is being accused of pulling the trigger and shooting her in the foot. I have a problem with him because he's trying to flip the script and manipulate the situation by calling himself a victim. I have an issue with that. With Megan, I don't have that much of an issue with her. He's been talking. He's been like, I just have no problem with her making a song. Maybe if she had called him out specifically by name, just because there's a legal case, I would have had an issue with it. Don't have a problem with it.
I see your side of it. Did you see Viola Davis as Michelle Obama?
I did.
Just be honest. You just made a face.
Rachel, let me tell you why, because the internet is wrong. Everything. Y'all wrong. Whoever put this compilation together is wrong, because I watched the whole episode. Did you see the whole episode? I saw the whole episode.
Yes.
I had to do this premiere. So I saw it. Whoever put this together is so wrong. You took the worst still shots, the worst video part, and compiled it all together. The entire episode, she does not over-exaggerate her lips when she is portraying Michelle Obama. She does it, but she doesn't do it the whole time. So y'all are wrong for making it seem like that. What?
She does it sometimes, though. Look.
Wait, are you saying Michelle Obama actually does it?
Talking about
Viola
Davis.
No, she does do it.
Yeah. Yo, we got to be careful with these biopics. That's all I'm going to say. Just be careful.
That scene.
Just be careful.
That scene.
Viola Davis, fantastic actress. But
you guys got to watch it.
Just be careful. Be careful with these biopics, man.
You have to watch it in its entirety. If you just watch the clip, it's like, wow, why would Viola Davis do that? But you have to watch it in its entirety. It's not that bad. But that scene, yeah, that was a lot.
All right, so we're going to jump out of entertainment, but I do want to leave with a little message for people. Somewhere, someplace, there's a person. Okay, Rachel, you with me?
I'm with you.
There's a person. I don't know who this person is. This person could be male, female, black, white, from the north, from the south, from the east, from the west. This person is looking around at their circumstances in life and they're thinking, damn, like, shit is bad out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to come up. Like, I need to come up real quick. I need to hit a lick real fast. You know, it's not coming fast enough for me. I need it. Either they behind, they owe somebody, they got some shit on consignment, they can't pay it back. Something is happening. This person needs to hit a lick. All right? They got a ratchet. They got a tool. They've been here before, maybe just not in a while. They got a ratchet. You know, they got a tool. They got to hit a lick. For this person, wherever you are, listening to the sound of my voice, if you are going to hit this lick, I ask that you choose someone other than DaBaby to fuck with. I'm asking everyone right now to stop fucking with DaBaby. Stop fucking with him. This nigga is undefeated in fuckery. He's never lost in fuckery. The girl's brother came at him. That's a win. We don't even want to talk about the Walmart motherfucker. Like, I'm not making light of this. I am actually saying as a warning to anybody who might be trying to come up, who might need it. I get that you need it. I get that it's fucking Robin season in some places. But just don't fuck with DaBaby. Stop. This nigga is not playing with y'all. It goes the same way every time. So I saw this. I literally saw a headline, shooting at DaBaby's hut, at DaBaby's place. Not one time in my mind did I think he was the one who got shot. Like, not one point in my mind. I was like, oh shit, who this nigga that shot now? And why? Stop fucking with him. Just stop it. It's plenty of niggas begging to get robbed if y'all gotta live like that. Please try somebody else.
Okay, please don't do it at all. please don't do it all. Let's not condone that. Question. I was listening to the 911 call. Why did they distort the voices? I've never heard that before.
I don't know what he's here for, what he's here to take, what he's here to do. But he's stopped. He's ready. He's neutralized until you guys get here.
Well, that's a legal eagle question. I don't know.
It came from TMZ. This is why I'm asking you.
Oh, I don't know. God damn it.
Well, I'm sorry. It makes TMZ. Sense to ask you. It makes sense to ask you. Donnie, Trudy, do you know this? Did y'all hear the... Donnie, you put it in the rundown.
Yeah.
Did
you hear the audio? Idea. I have no clue.
Isn't that odd? Really that was know. Odd, right? I didn't know if that's a new thing that we're doing. His voice was high-pitched. It was sped up. I don't know if he did that, if he had some type of voice changer on his phone. I don't know. Anyways,
they all right. can't try to come in this house, and it happened the same way it always happens. This nigga's like Sir Lancelot or some fucking shit.
He was
I don't
like,
know.
He's like, on the football field. How about that? He was like, he's on the football field. What?
The football field. They're like, he's like, yeah, go get him. Like, I don't mean to kill him. Like, he was nice about it. How you
he was actually really nice. I've neutralized the situation, is what he said.
Please pick somebody else to fuck with, man. You know what I'm saying? All right, let's take a break. Interesting situation, Rach. This happened to me recently. Keisha Lance Bottoms, former mayor of Atlanta, was turned away from an Atlanta restaurant for wearing leggings. She was in there. She went to a restaurant. She tried to go to the Capitol Grill at Perimeter Mall. She said they didn't let her in. She said, I was just turned away at Capitol Grill, Perimeter Mall, because I have on leggings. Some on social media were supportive of her, saying, hey, these dress codes are used to keep black people out of these establishments. Some people said, you know that they have a dress code. Why would you go there with leggings on? Jemele Hill jumped into it, says she hasn't seen the same dress code at other Capitol Grill locations. Interesting how that particular Capitol Grill has a dress code, because I've never encountered one before at a Capitol Grill. And leggings are just casual attire. Some people stay doing the most for no reason. Capitol Grill released a statement. For the comfort of all guests and to better deliver on our promise of a refined atmosphere, proper dress is required. Thank you for not wearing the policy states. Thank you for not wearing gym attire, sweatpants, tank tops, hats, clothing with offensive languages or images, or exposed undergarments. Rachel?
Well, you said this recently happened to you. What restaurant? It did.
Chicago Cut.
Chicago. Oh, finally we hear something negative about Chicago. What happened?
We have been shooting all day and all night long for the show Hip Hop Homicides. Coming to WeTV. Also, coming next week, Fat, Crazy, and Tired, Tales from the Trenches Transformation, Legacy Lit, coming Tuesday, 4/26. So we were shooting, and I'm in Chicago. It was fucking cold. I'm not going to lie. It was 30 degrees. We were sitting on some steps. I was interviewing someone. I was pissed. I was hungry. I was tired. It's a tough shoot on location sometimes. I had sweatpants on because... you know, the warm-ups, because I was trying to stay warm, and I didn't want to move around in jeans, because sometimes, you know, whatever. So after that, I had reservation at Chicago Cut. They told me to go to Chicago Cut, so some of us were going to go to Chicago Cut. When we went there, they wouldn't let me in. They looked at me and they said, hey, you have sweatpants on, you can't come into Chicago Cut. Like, you can't come in.
It's daytime.
It's night.
Okay.
I'd say it's like probably like 8:30. And they said, you can't come in. And I was a little perturbed, you know?
Sure.
But I left. They have a dress code. I was wearing sweatpants. End of story. Now, is it possible that they have a dress code of no sweatpants to, because they know that we like sweatpants, or that we like nice joggers that we wear? And because we wear nice joggers sometimes, is it potentially that they don't want no niggas in Chicago Cup? Maybe. I went back there. Because, you know, I made fun of the people who wouldn't let me in. And they laughed and I laughed. Wasn't that big of a deal.
Did you see anybody else in sweats when you were there?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I saw some people that were dressed so unbelievably casually, though, that sweatpants to me shouldn't be a line of delineation. They were like, I saw people there that were dressed so casually. So casually that I was like, huh. It seems like white casual is okay at certain places, and then black casual is not. If they say no sweatpants, or if they say no gym attire, can you be mad? Like,
well, I think there's an argument that can be made for leggings not being gym attire, because people wear oversized sweaters, with their leggings. People put on a heel with their leggings. It depends. I don't know what else she was wearing, but it seems like it was in the daytime as well. Also, it's to a mall. So just to be honest, like, how fancy are you with the restaurant being attached to the mall, which is what I think she was also trying to imply. But you're right. Listen, if there's a dress code, there's a dress code. I get it. But I have never been subjected to that type of discrimination, because that's what it can be at times. I do think there's
difference discrimination.
I think there's a difference between white casual and black casual. Absolutely. But I have seen it happen to my male black friends. At nighttime, we go out in a certain area of town. This is Dallas. I have literally seen my friend denied, and they let white men in wearing the exact same thing. They told them no tennis shoes, but white men can come in with flip-flops.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No kicks, but flip-flops. Black casual, white casual.
Right.
If there's a dress code, why would you want some nasty flip-flops in? Like, that's not classy. But there's a difference.
Now, in this situation, did she say that she saw other people dress similarly? I think she did.
I think maybe not at that time, but I think maybe in the past she's saying she had. And then other people were putting up pictures of other people who've taken pictures of Capitol Grill and tagged themselves, and they were dressed very casual, white casual. All
right.
There's a difference. So you can come in with jeans and flip-flops, khaki shorts and flip-flops, but you can't wear leggings and kicks.
White people always be casual. They're just casual. Like, everything is casual.
Is it?
To me. You know? See a nigga in a polo shirt, got the collar flipped up. Nigga, why you flipping that collar?
Nobody's still flipping up their collars.
The niggas flip the collars up. White dudes, they flip these fucking collars. Why you flipping that bitch up, bro? Why you doing that type of shit, bro? I'm saying, like, you know this is your country. They're not going to tell you can't come to Chicago Cut. They're not going to tell you that. They'll tell me. They're not going to tell you. But look, still, though, I can't really be mad. This is my only thing. I can't really be mad if it's in writing in the rules. It's like, sure. It's almost one of those things that's really frustrating, because it's like, we know. But damn, it's in the rules.
It's in the rules, but when you're not evenly applying the rules, then it becomes an issue. That's where I say discrimination. At least in the circumstance that I'm pointing out that happened to my friend, it was discrimination.
Let's talk about Jesus. It was Easter this past weekend. It was Easter weekend. Jesus, Jesus was doing his thing. He came back. People don't like the fact on the podcast that we like Jesus.
Let's keep going.
I think it's a problematic thing that we like Jesus. That
certain people think that.
There's more people than you think. I would say 60%, 70% of the people is a gang of people. And oh, by the way, speaking of Jesus, we promised something that we never delivered on, and we still have to do this. We have to bring somebody from the LGBTQ+ community on to talk about Lil Nas X and the video, and we're going to get to that. The video of Montero, Call Me By Your Name. We never did that. So we need to talk about some of the themes in church and whether or not I'm being old and folksy and superstitious by being scared of Satan. So I'm scared of the devil. And so that influenced my take on that video. So we never did that. And we have to do that. And that's going to be done within 3 weeks. We'll have done that podcast. Within 3 weeks, we'll have done that.
Okay. Don't trust you. Trudy, can you make a note, please?
Trudy, you know what? God damn it, Trudy.
I don't trust it.
We're going to do that.
Forget it as soon as he says it.
You know Vanna schedules, honey.
you know Vanna schedules, honey. Fuck are you, Jack A? What is this, 227? Like, you know Vanna schedules, honey. What the fuck was that? Sassy? You know what I mean? You know, you the black lady friend on the sitcom?
Come on, hey, boo it.
But it's over. How you doing, sugar?
Ben, hey. Like, you know my name. So like
a Trudy, certain... that's you. Trudy.
Like
Trudy.
An old soul, yes.
Mm-hmm. And, Gertrude. And Trudy, cousin Trudy, honey, sugar. Pumpkin. So let's talk about Jesus. So I like Jesus. You like Jesus.
Yes.
Let's play Jesus at 30,000 feet.
How great is our God?
You like that, don't you?
Let me tell you something. I've already told y'all how I am on planes. I would be pissed if this happened. I'm just going to tell you right now. I didn't care what they were singing. Like, that is disturbing to me. I like to keep it to myself, quiet, on a plane, in my own space. If somebody got out playing the guitar, I don't care what you're singing. I don't want to hear it. I would be highly annoyed at the situation.
I'm not going to be more than highly annoyed. I'm going to take your guitar.
Yeah.
I'm going to take your guitar. I'm not doing that. Now, I thought that this was Frontier Airlines.
No, they were going to Germany.
They were going to Germany, so it's definitely not Frontier. So it says in this article right here, it says it's not confirmed whether or not the flight was a commercial airline or if everyone was traveling with the same religious group on the flight. So I that
no.
Was, You know how I know
that's not the case?
How?
Because if you look at the whoever's recording it, there's a man who looks completely disgusted by the entire situation. So I can't imagine that this whole group was on the same page.
Okay. So this wasn't on the same page. This video is obviously it's funny, right? Obviously it's funny. Obviously it's hilarious.
Because we weren't there.
This video is also one of the most damning and accurate criticisms on modern Christianity that I've ever seen before in my life. Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus would not get up on a flight where everybody is doing their own thing and then start playing his guitar, whether you like it or not.
And forcing it on people.
Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus would be sitting in a seat next to you. He'd be doing his own thing. And if he struck up a conversation with you, he would listen to you more than anything, talk to him about what was going on. And then at a time where he felt like it was appropriate, Jesus would make a connection with you. And that connection would be rooted in the good news. Do you know what doesn't make a connection with people? And you know what doesn't make people feel together? Hijacking a plane that they're on and forcing them to listen to something that they don't want to listen to. I don't understand. When a telemarketer calls you during your dinner, it's not that you hate the human being that's on the other side of the telemarketing call. It's not that you hate that they have a job. It's the fact that you didn't ask them to call you during dinner. You don't want that call. All right. And when you stand up like this and force something on people and interrupt them and try to dominate them in this way, it makes you look like you're fucking nuts. I don't understand what the fuck the deal is.
And that's how people joke about Christianity, though. This was a scene out of the movie Saved. Saved?
I did, of course.
This is exactly the way people joke about Christianity and that people force their religion or Christianity on other people. Jesus would have been passing out earplugs.
Yeah, Jesus would have been helping them. Look, think about it. You could get it popping with Jesus. Jesus was at the wedding. They ran out of fucking wine. Jesus was like, keep the goddamn, let's go. Everybody get together, man. You can get it popping with Jesus. Jesus was the one that you want at the party because he had fun with you. He's like, hey, you know, just don't take it too far. Don't do anything that's going to disrespect yourself or keep you from hanging out with me for eternity. But this right here is the arrogance and the intellectual subjugation of man. This is anti-Christian. This isn't welcoming If in fact this went down the way this isn't welcoming. This isn't, hey, come to me. This is, hey, we're gonna do this no matter what you say, and interrupt your thing with our beliefs. So now you'll be less apt to hear from a deity
exactly
that wants you to live your best life.
Exactly.
That's as religious as we're gonna get on the podcast. Shame on them. Shame on them.
Yeah. Yeah, people want us to talk about this. I don't know what people thought we were going to say. Were we going to be into this? No.
Shame on them. All right, we'll take a break. Okay, did you watch Kyrie Irving go off?
Man, that was such a good game.
Yeah.
I'm so excited about this series. It made me, as I sat down and watched it, I was like, you know what? I really haven't sat down and watched basketball this season. And I was so into the playoffs yesterday. But specifically into this game. Yes, I saw Kyrie go off.
Kyrie went nuts. TD Gardens arena in Boston. Going to be one of the greatest first round series of all time.
And I hate that.
Why?
Because I want to save it. I don't want this to happen.
Oh, you wish it was there more stakes. Yeah.
I wish this was like the Eastern Conference Finals rather than, you know what I mean? I want to build up to this point. Don't give it to us all at once because, I mean, Brooklyn shouldn't even be number seven. So we shouldn't even be getting this now. We should be getting this later.
So he went nuts. He scored, I think, 39 on 12 for 20 shooting. It was everywhere. The game had a crazy ending, which Kalika had to tell me about because I was on the road to go do some work. And Kyrie claims, because he flipped off the crowd. Did you see him flip off the crowd?
I did.
He claims that he was called a pussy and a bitch. Okay. We got some audio from the game. Let's play audio number one.
Often I'm trapped in this situation. I got him in the corner, nowhere to go. This is good defense, a better offense. Knockdown shot in the corner, and then little hello to everybody in the building.
So that was him flipping the crowd off. After the game, he explained why he chose to engage with the crowd, this Kyrie Irving.
It looked like there were a couple times where you gave the fans the finger. I'm curious, was there anything that you thought crossed the line today, and are you the kind of guy that gets motivated by kind of going back and forth with the fans? Do you kind of use that internally as a something to fire you up?
Look, I'm just where I'm from, you know, I'm used to all these antics and people being close nearby. You know, it's nothing new when I come into this building, what it's going to be like, but it's the same energy they have for me, and I'm going to have the same energy for them. And it's not every fan. I don't want to attack every fan, every Boston fan, but, you know, when people start yelling pussy and bitch and fuck you and all this stuff, it's but so much you can take as a competitor. And, you know, we're the ones expected to be docile and be humble and take a humble approach. Nah, fuck that. It's the playoffs. This is what it is. You know, I know what to expect in here, and it's the same energy I'm giving back to them.
He's right. Okay? Kyrie's right.
What is he right about?
Matter of fact, he should have given them both fingers. I'm in total agreement with this. Why are we, as if I'm on the court or I'm a big fan of the Brooklyn Nets. Why is he expected to be the one to keep it together? And these fans are able to spew out all types of hate, all types of criticisms, okay, but just derogatory comments and just talk to these players like they're not human beings and they're just supposed to not react. To me, flipping him off was, or her, I actually don't know who, if it was a him or her, but to me, doing that isn't even that big of a deal compared to the stuff that was being spewed out towards him. And I feel like if you're not going to shut these fans down, then you need to allow the players to react. It's not like he jumped into the crowd like Ron Artest and went at it with them. He gave them a gesture and kept it moving. I don't think it's that big of a deal, and I don't think he should be fined for it.
What's the line?
Able to say anything derogatory. Like criticize, but like, oh, you suck. Okay, whatever. Like,
okay, so you suck is okay. So you suck is okay.
But like calling people out of their name.
Is fuck you okay?
That's fighting words. Trudy, those are fighting
words. Trudy, that's what you fight about. So fuck you, not okay. You suck, not okay.
Talking about family, not okay.
So any expletives, not okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So any expletives. So
like
what about
personally towards someone is not okay.
What if like you're so full of shit? Like somebody gets fouled, you don't think it's a foul, you're so full of shit.
But who are you talking to? The refs or to the player?
Either.
Because like, but I guess like that's more in general. But if I'm looking at you and I'm like, fuck you to that person.
What if you look at a player, you say you're so full of shit? I'm just trying to understand the line here because I agree with you, but there's got to be a line.
Fine. That's personal. You're directing it specifically. You're specifically towards someone or family. I think that's it.
Okay. I agree with you. But we do need to establish what the line is when we agree, right? Because I actually don't think fuck you is that big of a deal. Like, fuck.
If
hey,
I'm here,
fuck.
If I'm here.
Fuck you. Fuck. Fuck you. Fuck you.
How many
fuck
times?
You.
How many times? Oh, the whole time? But see, like, but I can't flick you off and give it back to you?
I can flick you. I don't think the players, I think we shouldn't treat the players like China dolls. The players are out there doing their things and they're like, I don't have any problem with him flipping off.
But
I'm just
they get fine.
But
so I'm saying they should be allowed to do that if the players are going, I mean, if the fans are going to.
Like, so Kevin's my man. You know I like Kevin. Me and Kevin were together. Kevin had one of the, I know you know Kevin. You and Kevin know each other pretty well. Kevin had the funniest moment in the NBA this season to me. So a fan says to Kevin, remember this? A fan says,
yes.
Is that the game? It's like, yo, it's time for you to take this game over. Kevin said, it's time for you to shut the fuck up and watch the game. So sit your ass down and shut up and watch the fucking game. That to me felt like it was funny as fuck. And you could tell that these guys are fed up with it. But that's why I asked what the line is. Should fans just not talk to the players at all? Should the fans, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's just funny.
Yeah,
it's
I
funny.
Think if fans can talk in that way, then the players should be allowed to respond back in that way. But they get fined for it. Either shut the fans up if the players can't do anything, or let the fans talk and let the players respond right back. That's how I feel. Or just kick the fans out. Either way.
Did you see the lady who the two ladies, one glued herself to the court, the other lady chained herself to the court during the Timberwolves versus this game?
Yes. But apparently there's a message behind this. So
don't be that way. It's a pro-animal message.
But like how, I get, we're talking
like
about
what?
It. So I guess it's effective. We're talking about it. We're talking about it. So it's effective. I was going to say there could be other ways, but you know what? We're talking about it. They brought something. I did not know that about the Timberwolves owner. So
Glenn Taylor runs a chicken farm. Apparently, the chicken farm is being called into question for its inhumane practices. I used to think differently about these people before Bozeman. I'm going to be honest with you. I used to be like, yo, man, whatever. Now I look at Bozeman, the little cuddly Wozer, who's just trying to live his best life. Bozerly Wozerly, the wonder pup. I look at Bozeman and I'm like, yeah, man, whatever. Whatever to protect him. I don't give a fuck. If it's all about, like, I can't stop eating meat. I wish I could. But if it's all about, like, fucking gluing myself. If you're asking me if some guy was, if it's about gluing myself to the court so that these animals have, like, come on, man. All right. Novan's very serious question of the week. Again, I'm letting it breathe for a second. I'm slipping. You're right. I'm slipping. There's a lot of stuff going on right now. It's happening.
It's okay.
Rachel, before we go, I have to say one more thing to Trudy. Is that okay with you?
Go ahead.
Trudy.
Yes.
Look. It's a time in everybody's life when they realize they're a fraud.
Don't, not even. I have never backed down from a fight. Now, let's start there. I have never backed down from a fight.
It's impossible.
That's never been a thing. It's not my fault that my people just fuck with me like that.
Now you're code switching. Now you're trying to sound more
gangster.
Ain't nobody
trying to code switch.
Yes, you are.
Ain't nobody trying to code switch. You know what, Trudy, Come drag him. Come get him. Trudy Trap, come get him.
We'll see what the Trudy Trap
is. She goes hide behind people again.
There you go.
Let other people.
There you go. Look at her. Let the Trudy fight your battles for you. Ooh, you something else. You know what? Take your thing caps off, but do not stop learning. I am Van Lathan Jr.
I'm Rachel Lynn Lindsay. Bye, guys. I'm a lover, not a fighter.